We're back in the book of Daniel tonight, and we've come to a great chapter in the book of Daniel. A great and interesting place and part of the book of Daniel. Daniel has so many great things in it. It has great character pictures. It has great stories. It has great visions and dreams and prophecy. And I think chapter 9, especially as I've been reading and thinking about it the last few weeks, is a tremendous chapter. There's a lot in chapter 9, and although I kind of thought we'd cover it all tonight, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to focus on the prayer of Daniel in chapter 9 and what it says. It really is a precious picture of a man of God and how a man pleases God. Daniel chapter 9. We're going to start tonight with a prayer. Really two parts to the chapter. One is the prayer, and the other side is the answer to prayer. And they're both beautiful parts of Daniel chapter 9. Tonight at least we're going to start with the prayer of Daniel. What we're going to find is a sincere and deep prayer from a man who is sold out to God. I mean, Daniel, at this place in his life and his time, is absolutely, absolutely, from everything we can see, Daniel wants to honor God. He's doing his best to honor God. And he gives God his best. When we give God our very best, what we can do, it's amazing what God can do with it. How God can help us, how God can guide us, how God can change us, how God can fashion and form and work in our lives. And this prayer of Daniel is like that. This is a man who's doing his best. He's in a good place. He has served God. He has studied the scriptures. He has sold out to God. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, we read of his prayer. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 and then verses 19 through 27. Well, well, well. Probably it's been too long since it advanced. Jeff, can I give you a job? Do you have a key to the sound room? I'll give you my wallet. It's got a key in it. Not much else, but it's got the key in it. I love this credit card key for the sound room and everything else. Would you go up and sit at the thing and see if you can push it to advance to the next slide? I guess the problem is it's been sitting too long. Never mind. Bring my wallet back, would you? Now, why did that happen? Maybe I have it upside down. Oh, come on. It shouldn't be that way. Thank you. Thanks for putting up with me more than anything else. Okay, Daniel chapter 9. Going to read verses 1 through 4 and 19 through 27. We're not going to read the whole prayer. I want to focus on this part of it. I'm going to refer to parts of it. But listen to the heart of Daniel as he prays. What's going on inside the life of this man? Chapter 9, verse 1 says, "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord God and confessed." Now go to verse 19, if you would, please. "Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." Daniel gives us the time of the prayer in this scripture. And okay, I'm sorry, verse 17. I read that wrong. "Now, O God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Let me read that verse again. I know I read it through so quickly. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act for your sake, O my God. Do not delay because your city and your people bear your name. I want to start tonight by just talking about the context of where Daniel was and when it was in his life. Daniel was a very old man by this time in this part of the book of Daniel. When I say he was very old, he had to be at least 70 years old. So not that that's old. That's getting younger and younger. What I should say is he's toward the end of his life. Boy, a lot of you are ready to throw a tomato at me, aren't you? Anyway, Daniel had lived 70 good years, and he has probably 3 to 4 years left that we know of. We don't know exactly when Daniel died, but from the rest of the events in the book of Daniel, it would seem that he had 3 or 4 years to go at this point when he prays this prayer. We also know that it's after this point that Daniel went into the lion's den. So he still has things going on in his life that are significant and important. Although the story of the lion's den is back 3 chapters, it actually takes place after this scripture and this prayer of Daniel. Well, who is Darius? Darius is mentioned here in verse 1, the son of Xerxes. I want to talk a little bit about who this man Darius is. It's in the first year of Darius, the son of Xerxes, that this story comes to us, this prayer. Darius was an army general. History tells us that this was a man who was not a king, but he was an army general in the Persian Empire, and he was sent with the army to invade Babylon, and he was successful in doing so, and his army captured Babylon and conquered Babylon, and so Darius became very famous as a general, and he was given the right to rule over the province of Babylon for a time, for a few years after he conquered it. So he was the ruler over Babylon. We can pinpoint the date for this time because we know when Darius came to power. We know that when the previous king was killed, and that was Belshazzar, and he died in 539, and Darius conquered the city and became the ruler over Babylon in 539. Okay, so he conquered Babylon in 539. In Daniel chapter 5, you have the story of the handwriting on the wall and the transition that took place when Darius became king. And part of the reason that I want to mention this is because it kind of ties into his prayer a little bit later in the chapter. So here is Darius, and he becomes king. After the last verse of chapter 5, it says, "That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. And so back in chapter 5, we have the story of the coming to power of Darius. And then in chapter 9, we're told that this takes place in the first year of Darius in this part of the story. So Darius took over the kingdom. He was not a king in that history doesn't record him as a king. He's called a king one time in chapter later on in the book of Daniel, but he really was a general, and he wasn't in power for very long. They think probably 2 or 3 years when Cyrus took over as the king of the Babylonian province as well. And I just talked about a minute ago about how the Daniel in the lion's den comes after this prayer of Daniel and comes very pretty soon after this time of Daniel's prayer. So he's the ruler or the king. When Daniel goes into the lion's den, Darius only rules for a few years, and then he gives way to Cyrus. He's called Cyrus the Great. Cyrus the Great, there's all kinds of stories about him in human history, as well as in later on here in the book of Daniel. And so Daniel tells us, as we look at the four kings that are found in the book of Daniel, I think I'm kind of reviewing this, but also it kind of sets up Daniel's prayer and what's going to happen in the future. We have heard about four kings in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar is the first one, and then Belshazzar, the writing on the wall, and then Darius becomes ruler. And then Cyrus, kind of, who is the king of Babylon, although Darius is ruling under his leadership for a time. So these are the four men who rule in Babylon, and their stories in the book of Daniel about them. And you have the years for them. Some of them are very specific. For example, Nebuchadnezzar's reign and Belshazzar's reign, you know exactly how long they reigned and when they died, and history records, and Daniel records some of the details about their lives. You can see in there that Darius only ruled for about 3 years, from 539 to 536 B.C. Well, the date's important, and so I want you to see Darius 539. It is important, and I'll show you why in a minute, for a prophecy that's fulfilled right here in his prayer. And then at the end of the chapter, when God responds to Daniel's prayer, then we have this amazing, to me, amazing prophecy that's fulfilled. And it is as I read about that and think about that, how the book of Daniel really points specifically to the future and events that will take place that will come to be. Well, so Daniel's prayer was at a specific place, a specific time. Daniel's prayer was a response to what he had read in the Holy Scriptures. His prayer is because he knew the prophets of old. Daniel knew what the prophets had said. He knew the law of Moses. He knew the writings. He knew Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the minor prophets. He knew the Psalms. He knew the Proverbs. Daniel had a great grasp. And we see little bits and pieces, but we especially see that in this story, how Daniel's prayer comes out of this prophecy that he reads in the book of Jeremiah, the writer Jeremiah, how Daniel has read Jeremiah's writings, and he's read something in there, and it's got his attention, and so he prays about it. He prays, he believes that this is a time and a place that God's going to do something special. Daniel's prayer is in response to him reading Jeremiah. Daniel has been watching. He's been watching and seeing what God has been doing. He's been following God's plan. He knows that the captivity in Babylon is part of the punishment of God. He knows that. He doesn't argue against it. He doesn't fight against it. He acknowledges we are being punished for the sins of the people. And he's read what the prophets had written about that. He's read the prophecies. And he knows that this captivity in Babylon is for a certain amount of time. And specifically, Daniel had read Jeremiah's words in chapter 25. And he has put together the timeline. And he knows that this timeline is about to be completed, or it is being completed. And that he was living when he prayed in the year of this prophecy, and that prompts his prayer. Well, look at this timetable, if you would, quickly. The Babylonian captivity began in 609 BC. That's when the Babylonian army, Nebuchadnezzar, first went to Israel, captured, took many captive slaves back to Babylon, including probably the boy Daniel. So he went in that first captivity. He went back. He was probably a little boy at that time. That's why you arrive at the 70 years old or older, to 80 years old by the time we find his prayer in chapter 9. He's lived a long life thinking about what the Babylonians did to Jerusalem and to his country. He's been thinking about how the temple has been destroyed. He's been thinking about the sadness of what has happened and God's punishment upon the people. Daniel feels that in his heart. He knows that the people brought on the punishment. The prophets had warned him over and over again. Again, as he knew the prophets, he knew their warnings to the people of Israel on how they didn't listen and didn't listen. And finally, God used the Babylonian army to come in and destroy them. And he's felt that, and he's seen that, and he's lived that out. And he's coming to the end of that time period. Okay, so we fast forward from 609 to 539 BC, and what happens? The handwriting on the wall, and the Babylonian empire is crushed. In 539, how many years is it between 609 and 539? It's 70 years. And so Daniel reads that. He sees it in the book of Jeremiah. This is the verse exactly. It says, "This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And so Daniel has, for 70 years, lived in Babylon, and maybe he's been counting the years down. Okay, it's been 40 years, 45 years, 48 years, 51 years. Goes up and up. And he gets to 70 years, and Daniel says, it's time that God's going to do something great. It's time that God is going to finish the punishment of his people, and God is going to deliver his people. I imagine that Daniel had with him some kind of a sense of excitement that God was going to do something special. God was going to do something amazing. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland. He knew what was going to happen to the Jewish people. And so Daniel begins to pray. He knows that, and he prays. He knows the time of punishment. He knows that the time of punishment is coming to an end. And he prays to God about it. God, what's next? What are you going to do, God, now? Yes, you said you would punish us for 70 years, and you've done that. And the 70 years is coming to an end. And so Daniel prays. And again, his prayer is based on the prophecy, is based on the words of Jeremiah specifically and what God has said, and that God is going to do something at this time. And so Daniel begins to pray and fast. Described here, it's not just a passing prayer, but for Daniel, he is consumed with this promise of God. God said he's going to do something after 70 years. God, I'm praying about that. And I have this picture of this man who is so sincere, and he's so connected to the scriptures. And so he begins to pray, and he starts fasting. It says here also that he puts on sackcloth and ashes, which is, of course, a symbol of sincerity, of saying, God, I'm asking you to hear my prayer. Sackcloth and ashes, a Jewish custom to demonstrate the urgency and how important the prayer is to the one that prays. And so Daniel does everything that he can to say to God, God, I'm asking you to hear my prayer. I'm praying to you. I'm urgently. And then I think of Daniel too, and related to that with a sackcloth and ashes is how he prays. He prays with a deep humility. I love the prayer of Daniel because he is praying from a humble heart. He's praying from a heart that is not presumptuous, that God's going to do everything that he asked him to do, or that God should do everything that he asked him to do at all. What's the attitude of this great man, Daniel? This man is humbled, and he calls out to God in that humility. And I'm reminded how important that is when we pray, that our prayer, that our hearts, when we pray, are humbled before God. We don't expect and demand things from God. We humbly come to him and say, God, everything you do for me is because of your greatness. And he talks about the greatness of God in verse 4. I pray to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. The attitude of Daniel's heart when he prays is, God, I'm not coming to you because I deserve this. I'm coming to you because we have sinned. And we ask you, God, to hear this prayer of humility. Not egotistical, not proud, not presumptuous, not Daniel, but deeply humbled. His prayer is of humility. His prayer is also of confession. And he confesses the sins of the people. He is confessing the sins of the Israelites and remembering back 70 years and 100 years and 150 years and 200 years and how God had given so much to his people, but they did not listen, did not obey, and he just pours out that confession. That's the kind of heart that he has. When you have a heart that's seeking God, you'll have a heart of confession. I mean, as far as we know, Daniel didn't do any of those things that he's praying about. I don't know. We don't have any indication that Daniel had a problem with an attitude or had a problem with his character. He had done wrong or he had not, as far as we know, Daniel. But yet he has a confessing, repentant heart that is calling out to God and saying, God, I am sorry about the sins that are around me. I'm sorry about the sins of my nation, my people, those that should have known better. Daniel has such a beautiful picture of what prayer and confession is and confessing to God. It reminds me certainly of the book of Psalm chapter 51. I want to read from that. If you want to flip to Psalm chapter 51, I want to be reminded tonight of the kind of prayer that God loves, the kind of heart that God wants. You know, on a good day or on a bad day, hear what God wants from us. Psalm chapter 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. See, the psalmist understood and Daniel understood that we have sin. We can try to justify it. We can try to make excuses. We can try to say it's somebody else's fault. But what God wants from us is confession and honesty and humility. And the psalmist says that so well. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. What does God want from us? He wants truth. He wants us to be truthful with him about life, about our choices, our circumstances. God wants truth. Outside of truth is, there's no relationship without truth. There's no relationship with God without truth. He calls us to be truthful with him. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Daniel had that attitude in his heart. He had that attitude of honesty and a contrite heart. When we pray, we should do so with a humbled heart. We should do so with a heart that calls upon the mercy of God. Verse 19 of Daniel chapter 9 is such a telling verse of Daniel's heart. This to me is the key verse of this story. Chapter 9, verse 19. It'd be a good verse for us to memorize. A good verse to think about when we are thinking about a holy God and how we fall short. We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. When we pray, we should always be praying, remembering. It's not because we are righteous, but because God is holy. See, Daniel, as far as I know, may be the best charactered person in the Bible, as far as I know. But this comes from the best charactered man in the Bible. I don't pray because I'm worthy, God. I pray because of your mercy. And so when we think about life and we think about where we're at and we think about our shortcomings, it's good to remember this. We pray because God is a holy God and he is merciful. See, Daniel is honoring God. His life has honored God. His choices have honored God. His influence has honored God. His relationships have honored God. And everything about Daniel has honored God. Daniel's heart has been right with God. He has wanted God to be pleased with him. And so he's been honest with God. He's acknowledged God. Daniel isn't the kind of person that tries to justify his actions or compromise. He's honest, truthful. He understands the importance of confession. How important it is to confess your sins to God. Not hide from them. God hears the heart of confession. He hears the prayer of honesty. He knows when it's coming from the heart. He knows when we're trying to manipulate him. He knows when we really deeply, deeply, deeply acknowledge the authority of God and call out to him. Daniel was brokenhearted about the sin of Israel. He felt it. He felt responsible for it. His nation, his people, his heritage, his family roots. He feels that. And he calls out to God in confession for that. He cries out to God to hear his prayer. He says, God, would you hear my prayer? Listen to his passion in verse 17. Look for the words that help us to see how passionate Daniel was about this prayer that he prays. Now, O God, hear the prayers and petition of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. You go on to verse 19. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. I mean, this is after Daniel has acknowledged who God is, his greatness and his wonder and his might, and he has acknowledged the sins of his people. And then he says, O God, I'm not praying today because we deserve it, but I'm praying because of your mercy. Would you hear my prayer? God, would you hear my prayer? Would you see my heart? Would you? And he says to God, would you act? God, would you do something for your people? Now, remember, there's people back in Israel who are starving to death, and it's very difficult back there because of the oppression. And he's saying, God, remember Jerusalem, your city, your temple, and look what's happened to it. God, for the sake of your name, would you do something about it? Would you change it? Daniel is calling out. He's crying out to God. He's crying out for God to hear. He's also pleading for God's mercy and action, saying, oh God, would you respond to this? He's pouring out a sincere and truthful heart. And what's amazing about this story is God's response. We'll talk about next week, and that's where I plan to pick up next week. But the angel comes and tells him, Daniel, I want you to know, when you started praying, God sent the answer. When you started praying, God sent the answer. Why? Because his heart was right. And when you pray, and you mean it, and you're sincere, God hears your prayer. He will answer. He will respond. God did that for Daniel. And he gave this beautiful prophecy about the future that comes next, beginning in verse following this text. In closing tonight, I want to focus for a moment on one verse in the book of James, chapter 5. It's pretty simple. It says this: the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. In other words, I believe James is telling us, and it's men and women. I don't believe James just means men and not women here. But what it says is, when you are praying with a humble heart, you are seeking God, it's effective. It will help you. It will help other people. God will act. God will do something that maybe he was not going to do. Prayer, you've heard it said, prayer changes God. And then you've heard it said, well, prayer changes people. I'm not sure where all the mystery comes together. But I know that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And Daniel reminds us how important prayer is. How important prayer is in your life. And seeking God and listening to God. Listening more than talking to God in prayer. You know, I think all the words that we can say, the most important thing that we can do is listen and hear the heart of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, tonight I thank you for this book, this story of prayer, this man of character, this man who, whatever you want to call him, he touched the throne room of God. You heard his prayer. Even before his prayer was on his lips, you said that you heard the prayer and you are sending an answer. Lord, we thank you for the example of prayer. We thank you for the call of prayer. We thank you for the model of prayer. God, I pray that we would know that you hear our hearts when we call out to you. Help us to know that and believe that and to live that, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to pick up the last, the 77s in the prophecy here at the end of this chapter.